And beginning at the second verse, we find, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In speaking of these things to the apostles, naturally the question would come in their minds, when we therefore were gathered together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. It would have been very discouraging if he had have said, It'll be close to 2,000 years before I will come again and this kingdom will be established upon the earth. But he comforted them. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Brethren, can we put ourselves in their position? Suppose we had been standing there and seeing Christ being taken up into heaven, one whom we had been associated with for some time, one who had performed miracles in raising the dead and healing the sick, and he was being taken away from them. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went in up to an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. What did they do? We find that they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Truly, they must have been saddened by the taking of Jesus Christ up into heaven out of their sight. But we realize what they were going to do and what they continued to do with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. We find in the scriptures many parables, one of which we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is likened unto a man going into a far country to receive for him a kingdom and to return. His command was to them, occupy till I come. We find that the same parable is also written in two books, in Matthew and Luke. And the subject of trust we find in the book of Matthew is talents. And in the book of Luke, we find that it's referred to as pounds. The command was to work for the master until he comes and to increase the value of what he had given them. Let us turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter, and read this parable. Matthew 25, beginning at the 14th verse. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then we find the sad part of the story. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou that hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, brethren, we see in this parable that the king returned as he said he would. We realize in reading this parable that we, as brothers and sisters of Christ, sons and daughters of God Almighty, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account when he returns. So, brethren, is the lesson coming through to us in these few words that we've had so far? Let us turn to Acts, the second chapter. Beginning at the 41st verse. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day that were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and they sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, that as men every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we find from reading in these few verses what they did. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So, brethren, we can ask ourselves the question, are we continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers? Remember, he said, occupy until I come. And when we partake of these emblems each first day of the week, we remember him until he comes. What a privileged position that we are in, realizing that we have been trusted with this Word of God. And we find that in the third chapter of Galatians, some very familiar words, which says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Brethren, what higher position, we might say, in this life could we ask for? To realize that although we are waiting that time when he will return and we will be changed, we are told here, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise that was made to him. We find in Romans, the 6th chapter, the 3rd and 4th verses, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This is our position today. We have been baptized and been buried with him by baptism into death, and therefore we should walk in newness of life until he comes. We are living in today a time spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he says, and behold, at evening time, trouble. Certainly we can see the trouble that exists all over the world today. And we are certainly living in that time. And what does he say? He says, woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of the nations that make a rushing like the rushing of many waters. The nation shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. Luke tells us that upon the earth there shall be distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Matthew warns, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. How many earthquakes have we heard of in the past few months? Very serious ones. One that just happened in China. And we have had no report as to the casualties. It seems that they don't want to give out this information. Russia has had one and has not given out any information. But these earthquakes seem to be getting worse and worse all the time. And certainly we can see in this that the time is very near when the king will return. It points to that soon, that time, when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shall take his rightful place as king and rule from the throne of David. For we remember, almost 2,000 years ago, it was he who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And he's now sat down at the right hand of his Father, awaiting that appointed day. Yes, he is awaiting that day, according to the book of Acts, when it reads, because he appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. We recall the scripture in the book of Galatians when it refers to his first coming, when it is recorded. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So we know that when he comes again, it will be according to the time appointed. So it is until he comes that we remember him each first day of the week. He came as a lamb to take away the sin of the world. When he returns, the purpose will be entirely different. He will come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But these mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. The people that live in Israel today are going through many trials and tribulations. But we know that they have many more to go through before the return of our Lord. For we read from the 12th chapter of the book of Zechariah of a time that is coming, when it says, it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy of the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadrim in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart. Most of the time we find today when something sad happens, that a family mourns together. But this is going to be such a day of mourning that we find that the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart and their wives apart. All the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. So we see that these people have a time of trouble that is certainly coming upon them at the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So, brethren, our work now is to build a character. This is our work now, to build a character pleasing to the Master when he comes. We can only be used as stones in his building if we have been cut and polished to fit into place. We might say we can even find pleasure in the troubles and trials that we have today, the many trials that we have, knowing that it is only through much tribulation that we will enter into the kingdom. Putting the fine needlework in our robe and making it into a wedding garment. It will not be, brethren, to be without this when the bridegroom arrives. If we, with David, are to realize all our hope and all our desire. Some very familiar words come from the book of Lamentations, the third chapter, which reads, these are very impressive words, and I'm sure you all agree. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The psalmist tells us to rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. This is hard to do sometimes. We find ourselves maybe getting to a point where our patience is very thin, that we wonder just how long it can be before the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For we see how much the world needs him and how much we need him. We must be ready, brethren, to go forth to meet him when he comes, with oil in our lamps, our shoes on our feet, and our staff in our hand. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, beginning at the 50th verse. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must have put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Once more, brethren, through the mercy of God, we are permitted to assemble around the table in remembrance of the love that has been shown to us by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. We are here this morning called out from our usual surroundings. We have, through baptism, become the purchased people of the Lord, Jesus Christ, bought with a price. And brethren, let us not forget that that price that he paid was the giving of his life. We find in the scriptures a verse that says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we speak of not being conformed to this world, we might think this means only the pleasures of the world. But it is evident that not merely the godless pleasures, but also the ways, the thoughts, the spirit of the world are things to which we must not conform. Before the flood, yes. How many times we hear this scripture quoted, what happened before the flood? Well, we find that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Let us read from Matthew, the 26th chapter, a few verses. Matthew 26, beginning at the 36th verse. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep. Imagine at a time like this, he came to his disciples, and found them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Remember, brethren, until he comes, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the same time, the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Brethren, what a sad time this must have been for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We find then that they led him to the high priest. And in the 62nd verse, we find that the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnessed against thee? And Jesus held his peace. Imagine holding his peace at that time. The high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, Ye have spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. Brethren, can we imagine? This is the Son of God. And imagine people spitting in his face and buffeting him. Others smote him with the palms of his hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? Well, we know that he had said beforehand, when they took the sword, he said, Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? He knew the power that he had, but nevertheless he had said, Not my will, but thine be done. Brethren, we can ask ourselves, have we fallen asleep? We are waiting the return of the Lord. This is no time to sleep. This is the time that we should be wide awake, looking into these things and reading and reading and studying. Let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. In 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter. In the 16th verse, we are admonished to rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Not just to abstain from evil, but from all appearance of evil. We go back to the 25th chapter of Matthew once again. And we find that when the king had returned and had given them their due, so to speak, those that had gained and those that had not, that when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, beginning at the 31st verse, and the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he begins to tell them what they had done for him. How he was hungry, and they gave him meat. He was thirsty, and they gave him drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. And they were quite surprised. Then shall the righteous answer him, said, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, and in prison, and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of one of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And then he turns to them on the left hand, and he goes through the same things, telling them certain things, certain places that he was, certain conditions that he was in, and they did not minister unto him. And they were surprised. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, or thirst, and stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Brethren, the time is fast approaching when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will return to this earth. And we are warned through many readings in the scriptures of the conditions that will exist just before his return and what position we should be in. And we find in the 13th chapter of the book of Mark, But of that hour and that hour and that day knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So, brethren, it's until the Lord's return, we are told to remember him each first day of the week. For the conditions that will exist upon the earth will be beyond our imagination. Peace like a river shall flow from the world's metropolis, and living conditions will be made such the world over that happiness shall abound and life be prolonged among the subject people of that universal empire. No longer will the poor be oppressed by the rich. For every man shall sit under his own vine and fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. There shall be one Lord over all the earth, his name one, one empire, one law, one religion. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill to all men. If we know these things, and it is our duty to know them, then we should heed the Savior's exhortation. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.